One of the things I really enjoy doing when I'm preparing a sermon is looking at the readings, and there are usually three of them, and seeing if I can find... Oh, I didn't turn this off. I turned me off. I'm sorry. And seeing if I can find a theme that runs through all of the readings. And today, it seems to me that they all point to what it means to be the community of God, no matter what. In Genesis, Jacob, who tricked his blind father and usurped his brother's right as the firstborn, he is finally, after running away, he is finally on his way back home. And he finds himself wrestling. And the image is wrestling with a man. He is wrestling with God, wrestling with his fear. He is forgiven, and he is received back into the community. And most important here, he's given a new name. He's now not called Jacob. He is Israel, which, as the Hebrew scriptures say, is the name of God's people at that time who worshipped from what we now know as the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament. So he makes his way back and he becomes the leader of a whole nation, the Israelites. Seems like God's grace and forgiveness are central to this story. And the community now has a new identity, the people of Israel. And in that second reading, Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's anguished about his own people, the Israelites. He's a Pharisee, remember. He's very involved in the leadership of the people. And they're living without faithfulness to the scriptures. They've forgotten who they were as the beloved people of God. Israel has made its way away from the God who called it into being and sustains it. This gospel in Matthew that records the event is one of the very few stories that appear in all four gospels. You know, because these writers had their own memories, their own stories that had been passed down. So this story must have been very important, I think, since they all carry it in their Gospels. Here it happened. Jesus wanted some time to reflect on the press of people seeking healing, listening to his every word. So he took a boat to an isolated place. Often in the Gospels, Jesus stops what he's doing and goes into the desert or takes time very early in the morning to reflect. He couldn't do what he was doing unless he had his own time of quiet and of meditation. He needed a break at this point. But when they pulled the boat into shore, he was greeted by this huge crowd, some of them probably the people he'd already just left and who'd walked their way across to where he was. What was he going to do? Ignore the crowd and walk away from all the need that they brought to him? Tell them they're interrupting his schedule? Jesus chose to see these people as those who are part of the beloved community, beloved by God, drawn and called by God to be a community, the new Israel, who were ready to listen to the words of encouragement, blessing, and hope. So he stayed, he healed, he encouraged. And so as the evening came, and with it tiredness, the disciples come telling Jesus it was time to send the crowds away so they could find food before nighttime. Nighttime's scary out there in the desert. It was very dangerous for women to go out because you never knew what bad beings there were ready to attack out in the desert. That was a rule. Women should not go out. And soon it's going to be nighttime for all of these people. So here they come. Send them away, the disciples said. And Jesus, in reply, says, you give them something to eat. You do this impossible thing at this moment. Go ahead and do it. And they scrabble around. This is how I see it anyway. They scrabble around and they come up with these few loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish they brought with them. And I can imagine fish weren't too exciting at that time of the day after they'd caught them earlier out in the hot sun. How can we feed a crowd like this? Well, but what happened next has been just endlessly discussed by theologians and their students. Here are a few of their answers. The numbers are not accurate. 5,000 means a lot of people. Jesus got out the bread and fish and began to share it with everyone, and they all did the same with their picnic food. The Gospels were written to 50 to 100 years after Jesus died, and they became exaggerated, added to, in the frequent tellings of them. How did the feeding of the 5,000 happen? I don't know. How this event took place is not important to me, but I firmly believe there was an act of wonder that happened when Christ took bread, said the blessing, and began passing it out to the crowd. When Jesus blesses people, creatures, and things, God's grace fills them, fills us, and there are many baskets still for the days to come. I just suggested that the story reveals an act of wonder, using that phrase because if I use the word miracle, we have a different sense of what it was. Something weird, magical happened. But God is always doing wonders among us. Call them miracles if you like. It may be the wonder happens through a relationship with others. It may be something that happens as a movement in us, in our own faith journey. Today, we're going to live through the wonder of breaking bread, of Christ's body shared for us. It changes us. It makes us whole. It strengthens us to pass on blessing to others in the crowd. Not quite a crowd this morning, but we still pass to each other visually or in some other way our togetherness with the blessing that God gives us. As the prayer book says, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts with thanksgiving. So as you see the breaking of the bread, the pouring out of the wine, know that the Holy Spirit indwells you and will sustain you so that you can feed others. It's a mystery, a wonder. It is Christ in you, in me, Christ, the hope of glory. the Sunday gathering for the breaking of the bread that sustains us. It keeps us in life. COVID has turned us upside down and made it harder than usual to reach out into the world. Turned us upside down and made it really harder than usual to reach out into the world with gifts for healing, satisfying hunger, and welcoming others into the beloved community. I've thought a lot about John Lewis this week, and think of him as a voice of truth and hope in the world, like Jesus. John almost died for the cause of abused members of God's beloved community, those of African American descent who were oppressed, where the oppression reigned and fear was a reality that held thousands bound. I remember shaking John Lewis's hand and the feeling I had as we touched each other was sacred. I felt so honored to be standing with this man of such Christian commitment and so lovingly being in the beloved community, even while there was so much oppression and so much hatred all around. Shaking his hand felt to me like receiving the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. Like the first Christians, who witnessed the 5,000 being fed, we are called out of our comfort zones to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, and take care of our own life of prayer by taking time each day to be still with God. Some of us have much more time for the work of listening for God's word. I don't know if you thought about that. I've actually found it quite a blessing in that I'm contained within my own small apartment with my cat and only go out occasionally, like coming to Grace or buying vegetables. Taking time, we can see this as a blessing and actually carve up some of the time to be especially offered as our way of understanding, discerning what God wants of us. So I'm going to give the last word to John Lewis, and I could hear Jesus saying the same thing to those who were following him. Get out there and stand up and speak out and get in the way. Isn't that wonderful? Sounds like the gospel to me. Get out there and stand up and speak out and get in the way and lead others to this beloved community in which Christ embraces every one of us. Amen.